while in general that councillors feel they've been making evidence-based decisions. The Mayor quote from a letter you wrote to my wife. The quote is, I can hand on heart say that when going through the structure plan process, we all aimed to make a decision that was evidence-based and strategically justified. Councillor Taylor on the night, in proceeding to this, obviously, our decisions have to be evidence-based. Now, the community, I'm speaking now, the community does have, indeed, expect councillors to be fully informed and to be making evidence-based decisions. However, what is, can I say, ironic, perhaps, is that the motion for the ultimate structure plan was amended, I believe that's the correct word, as proposed by Councillor Delahunty on the night, to include the requirement for a traffic study and comprehensive shadow planning. Now, I say ironic because on one hand, councillors are claiming to make an evidence-based decision, whilst on the other, they're voting for a motion that inherently declares that not all the evidence has been gathered. Further, a question put to the meeting by a fellow resident, Virginia, her name was, can you please outline the social, economic, transport and environmental data collection and policy framework that has been developed alongside the structured planning design guidelines to enable you to make informed decisions as to the efficacy of these proposals? She then went on to ask, do you have enough now to make this kind of decision? Mr Mayor, you then answered that we have met with an array of different experts on all different topics. You went on to say, what are the traffic impacts, how we're going to put those into the planning scheme, that is at the next stage of the process. You went on to say, do we feel right now, with what's in front of us, that we are ready to make a decision? Well, you will have to see once those items come up, all right? And do we feel there is more work to come, and we are being quite open and honest about that? Yes, we do. There'll be much more work that comes as this process continues. End of quote. Now, again, you're conceding, Mr. Mayor, that not all the information or evidence has been studied prior to making the decision. Councillor Taylor then went on to describe what she meant by, and clarifying, evidence-based, as being in terms of the statistics of population growth. Now, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here, but Councillor Taylor rightly presented that population growth is occurring in the state of Victoria and needs to be dealt with, and Glen Eira has a part to play in this. That the city of Melbourne is unable to further expand due to habitat destruction and lack of food bowl for Melbourne. I'm again paraphrasing. It was a very grandiose speech, and I agree with a lot of what you had to say. There's a charming description of snakes presenting themselves within the city of Melbourne. And I note here that Councillor Taylor did not once cite any particular study, but made broader generalisations regarding population control within Victoria. This is notable because you were voting that particular night on very specific structure plans for Glen Eira. Yet the argument the councillor gave was not about Glen Eira and the administration and detail of the structured plans, but comments and evidence around a broader purview of the state government. So the argument really wasn't relevant in terms of what you were voting on that particular night, which is what we'd expect. So if you're going to be speaking about the structured plans, we expect to hear evidence of why you've come to that decision. I'm going to jump ahead here because I don't want to harp on that too much. Now, so one would expect that the evidence would be cited when addressing the rationale as to the position a councillor is taking. As pointed out by the Mayor when you said, you will have to see once those items come up. Did that evidence come? Not in this place. You've cited about a broader issue. So further, I could cite further examples over the night. There are many of them, but I'm limited in time here. Councillor Delahunty stated that no shadow planning had occurred because the department has no shadow planning software. That's very curious, as it's readily available on the internet for free. I myself have conducted extensive shadow planning. It's not pretty for Elstermek. Was that just misinformation to the councillor, or does the planning department have no internet access? I'm not sure. There was also a peer review that was an opportunity to do that kind of planning. When the Mayor, you passed it over to Mr. Torres, he said it was all available on the website. I've looked there, it's still not. There is some traffic planning on there, but that's all confined within a particular study area, and really not constructive in terms that this has implications beyond that area. So not one councillor that night cited any evidence as to why the towers in question are required in that location. What was cited was anecdotal at best, but where's the empirical evidence? For example, I can confidently state that 92% of feedback from respondents to the Ultimate Structure Plan was in opposition to the proposal. In your documents here, you cite some. Well, I can say it was 92% for my friends who have gone through and collated that information. Let's look at some more evidence that was cited on the night. I note that both Councillor Strait and the Mayor cited having spoken to many experts, yet did not once state who these experts were. Some councillors, in particular Councillor Strait and Councillor Delahunty, cited that there is a need to take plans of the further car yard precinct to be of up to 12 storeys to the State Planning Minister, for anything less will be rejected. That at the moment VCAT can approve any level of towers, but where's the evidence for this? I suggest that the evidence here is again anecdotal, for no statistics, and you have the opportunity to cite them, were cited on the night. In fact, precedent suggests that there is an equally possibility that the towers might be rejected for reasons of overshadowing and being out of character with the surroundings, as there are some of these examples of these decisions made by VCAT. In Hyatt, the structure planning for the site next to Southland, I believe, has been restricted to 6 storeys, and I believe, I may not be correct here, that when this was challenged by VCAT, the challenge was overruled. So again, there's evidence of it not necessarily needing to go to 12 storeys to take to the minister. When the previous state government were in power, Planning Minister Matthew Guy was criticised for granting protection from high-density living for large pockets of Kew, South Yarra and Pran, and so on. Now, I'm going to deviate slightly here, because when Councillor Delahunty was at my house prior to the last meeting, Councillor mentioned the importance of rushing through this process to getting the paperwork on the desk of the minister prior to the next election. Now, does that not suggest that Councillor Delahunty is also aware of evidence contrary to her claims that the Towers proposal may be rejected by a Liberal planning minister in favour of medium density accommodation? Whilst on the topic there of Councillor Delahunty's statements, in the meeting here on the 27th...
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, can we just push this straight to the question, please?
Councillor McGee, well-appointed. Yep. Mr. Armsworth, if we can get to a question.
Sure.
That would be great.
Sure. What I'm proposing here is that no evidence was cited on the night. Councillor Davey didn't speak to anything. In fact, when she visited my house, when asked on her opinion of the heights of the towers, stated, "I don't know, I haven't given it much thought." So clearly there seems to be a lack of evidence while you're all saying you have made evidence-based decisions. My question is, when the City of Glen Eira finally get around to collecting the evidence required to make an informed and evidence-based decision, should the evidence suggest anything contrary to the current proposal? Sorry, I've got a dry mouth here. Should evidence suggest that traffic mayhem will ensue, that there'll be skyrocketing power bills for those overshadowed? Should evidence suggest that economics do not support 12 storeys or less for those owning the car park? Should environmental impacts or any further studies... Thank you very much, Councillor Strait. Thank you. Oh, that's so much better. Should evidence suggest that... Basically, there are other options. Will the City of Glen Eira act on such evidence and go back to the drawing board, or will it be swept under the carpet in favour of more anecdotal analysis, personal opinion that you currently have, because you seem to have based your opinions on evidence that you have not stated to us in any substantial way, shape or form when given the opportunity to?
Thank you, Mr. Armsworth.
Thank you.
The simple answer to your question is that it won't be swept under the carpet, and that evidence will always come to us, and we'll make the best possible decision with the information that comes to us at every single step of this next process, and at every step of the process that has led us to our last meeting. That's been absolutely the case. Now, there have been some situations where you've claimed different things have been said by some people, so I will open up to the councillors to respond if they wish to. at this point. Councillor Delahunty.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Maybe I'll address the preamble. At no stage during the meeting did I say that the shadow diagrams hadn't been done. In fact, I provided them and a link to them on the website. And if you don't have them, I'm happy to do so again. What I did suggest, though, is that before I make the next stage of the decision, I wouldn't mind seeing some more of them. Because as we, I think, discussed at a number of people's houses, so potentially yours as well, that because there's a lot of software going around that people can access their own shadow diagrams, it's important that we conduct ours again in concert with those kind of software programs so that residents can better understand how they look. The shadow diagrams that we present in the Ulster Infrastructure Plan are quite rightly big, grey, ugly boxes because we don't know what a design might look like and we can get a bit better at that. But I made my decision on the basis of the evidence that I had and had provided also to residents. There's a number of other things that you've suggested that I've said, which I suggest may be misinterpreted or misquoted, but there's a whole file online as to what was said at the meeting, so I welcome you to go back over that.
Thanks, Councillor Delahunty. Any other councillors wishing to respond at this point? Ron, sorry, I should say Mr. Torres, apologies. Could you go in a little bit of detail on some of the experts and evidence that was presented to the councils? I know this is obviously a question without notice, but to the best of your ability.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The expert analysis, the evidence, the reports have all been shared with the community and the councillors to help inform the final decision that was made. Additional analysis has been committed to in a transparent process. That's for the Alstonwick Urban Renewal Area. That analysis will be on shadowing and traffic impacts. The process from here is to conduct that analysis, to share it with the community, to have the community input on that, help shape it, and then to present those findings and possible recommendations to council in the context of establishing further permanent controls. So it will be a fully informed and transparent process.
One last point that I'd like to raise also is that if you did hear a lot of discussion within the room about what our obligation is regarding the state's obligation, what we want to deliver, that's exactly what our end product has given us. So they've not necessarily said, Glenara, you're going to take this much, but we have done an analysis based on the region that they've put us in, which includes Boroondara, Stonington, ourselves, and potentially Bayside. And we've done figures based on that. Now, they're not saying that you have to 100% hit that, but if we show that we're doing, we're putting forward a plan that grossly doesn't get close to the mark they're thinking, then it will be thrown back at us and we'll have to, you know, answer why is it exactly that we've produced this sort of plan. So it's important that we're responsible with what plans we're actually going to put forward and submit to the planning minister and anyone else, and into the independent panel as well. Now, I believe you had a second question.
I do. I'll try and be much briefer on this one.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ms. Mayor. If you look back through what I said, I gave a very, what I thought was quite a comprehensive process of the steps that we go through to. So that explains, you know, what we have to go through before this actually becomes finalised. Yes. And I think you'll find that some of the items in the structure plan that we've asked for further information on have been expressed in such a way that, you know, this will be allowed, presuming it doesn't overshadow these houses, and we need the information to make sure that happens when we do the planning scheme amendment. Now, we don't want the traffic to be going through all these small side streets behind this area, and we need traffic plans to make sure that doesn't happen before we go further. So it's based on those assumptions, and to my mind, if those assumptions that we based it on, and there's a lot of them right through all three structure plans, if those assumptions aren't able to be met, then we rethink of what we've put in the structure plan.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor.
I'll just go to answer one part of where I was coming from in the night. I'm sorry if that wasn't clear in the way I might have expressed it. Obviously, we all do the best that we can in the way that we express. And we try not to deliberately overlap everything else that is said on the night, the tolerance of the members who are coming to the meeting as well. And so I was trying to offer a perspective in a direct response to some of the comments that have been raised when I've been talking to residents in the community, concerns why can't you just move the development to the outer suburbs, just at the edge of the city? Why can't we just do that so that we don't have to crowd up our suburbs here? Right. So I was trying to set the framework and context within which we allow any development whatsoever, apart from the fact that we do have to answer to certain state government requirements under Plan Melbourne Refresh. We can't just go off and do whatever we want. I mean, I know you would know that that's the case. We have to balance that, because then we can't get structure plans up, and if we can't get structure plans up, then we don't have necessary control in any way, or to the extent that I think the community really do want, over the development that does occur in the area. So really, I was just trying to set the framework and to specifically answer certain concerns that had been raised in the community. Because if I didn't take that opportunity to answer those concerns, then people might say, well, why don't they just push it to the outer suburbs? Why don't they do that? It's so simple. So that's what triggered me raising that.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, it's a pity, and we can't do it because there's just not the time, but to see... also, we actually went street by street. If you'd seen, we have these big maps of every little area of the community, and we're literally going street by street saying, couldn't we just take a bit more off there? You know, we're literally just trying to see how can we balance it across the whole municipality. And I get that you're probably literally hurting inside because it's your space, and you have every right to defend that space, and I'm proud of the way that you and other residents have come forward and expressed very candidly what you're feeling. We need to hear that, and it certainly weighs on us very heavily. And we're all actually probably that night feeling, you know, we're trying to find so many different ways to balance all the needs of the community. So I just wanted you to understand where we're coming from. I wasn't trying to swipe away all the rationale and all the detail behind the decision making. I was just trying to set a framework, because that's how my mind works. I always say, well, yeah, we'd like to be able to just not have to, you know, fulfil some of those state government requirements, but the fact is that we do have to balance that with the local Glenara community. It doesn't mean the local Glenara community isn't significant. It is actually at the centre of this decision-making for us as individual councillors.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Yeah, unfortunately, Ms. Dunsworth, there is a second question, but we have run over time.
Right.
I'm happy to take that offline with you and provide you an answer for that one.
Sure.
Is that okay?
That would be. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for your participation today.
If you send me an email, Mr. Mayor, I'll give you the entire question.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Strait. Councillor McGee. Thanks, Ms. Dunsworth. It's okay, Councillor McGee. So, the next section on the agenda is presentation of officers' reports. 9.1 is 279 to 281 Jasper Road in McKinnon. I'd like to move that this motion is put forward as printed. Do I have a second for this? Councillor Davey. Thank you, Councillor Davey. Now, first up, I just want to put a little bit of a disclaimer up top, but this project is very different to what we saw in 2015, or what the council then saw in 2015. I'll cover that in a little bit more detail later. From the plans that were advertised, conditions and changes have been incorporated as part of the recommendation from the planning department that we have before us today. Most notably is the